This is Scientific American's 60-Second Science. I'm Christopher Intagliata.
If a hummingbird's ever visited your garden, you've no doubt seen it flit from flower to flower, hovering midair, as it sips on nectar. That activity requires plenty of energy, so hummingbirds need a lot of nectar to feed their hungry metabolisms.
In fact, some of them probably drink 2 or 3 times their body mass in nectar every day.
Andrew McKechnie, an ornithologist at the University of Pretoria in South Africa. McKechnie and his colleagues have studied hummingbirds at extreme elevations in the Peruvian Andes. To survive there, the tiny birds have developed a few tricks. For one, their blood cells are unusually efficient at transporting oxygen. Also, it's more difficult to hover in the high-altitude thin air, and so
the hummingbirds at those higher elevations are much more prone to perching while they feed. So that does seem to be one way in which they try and reduce the energy expenditure.
Now, McKechnie and his colleagues have found another energy-saving adaptation. The high-mountain hummingbirds can lower their body temperature by extreme amounts at night, going into a state called torpor.
I mean, for all intents and appearances, they're essentially dead. They're that unresponsive.
The scientists caught 6 species of Andean hummingbirds and monitored their temperatures throughout night and day. And they found that all 6 species could enter some type of torpor. They lower their body temperatures from about 100 degrees Fahrenheit by day to as low as 38 degrees Fahrenheit at night. And being
essentially dead
conserves energy. The details are in the journal Biology Letters. Although some of the birds' low body temperatures are on par with those of hibernating mammals, it's important to note that this is not fully fledged hibernation, which is a longer-term response. True hibernation has only been documented in 1 bird, so far at least, the common poor will in the U.S. Southwest.
One of my career goals is to find a second hibernating bird.
In the Andes, he says, is going to be the first place he looks.
Thanks for listening. For Scientific American 60-Second Science, I'm Christopher Intagliata.